This is Suzette Live Talk. It's 8 p.m. on Saturday night, Pacific Standard Time. This is Suzette LT. Welcome for a new episode of Suzette Live Talk. Good evening. This is Suzette LT. It's Saturday night, 8 p.m., and we've got some stories for you this evening. If you didn't hear them in the news, they still might be on your mind if you got a glimpse or at least a tidbit of what's going on. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware that Hawaiians got quite a shock when they received news of an incoming ballistic missile. No joke. If you check on my slideshow there, if you are visiting my website, you can see what the alert looked like. It looks pretty real. Apparently, it took them like 30 minutes to correct this thing. The New York Times reported that authorities confirmed on Saturday that there was no ballistic missile headed. I'm hearing something. Ringing here. I don't know what that was. I apologize for that. Anyway, onward. So the New York Times reported authorities confirmed on Saturday that there was no ballistic missile headed toward Hawaii minutes after emergency alert was sent to cell phones. Now, the news is reporting something different, but anyway, let's go on. They're urging people to seek immediate shelter, leading to chaos and confusion. I'm sorry. So they got the alert, and then they were told to seek shelter. Of course, people are going to be in chaos, panic. What else? The alert says ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. The alert said seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. 38 minutes later, it was corrected. Now, apparently, it's been reported that this was caused by human error during a shift change. How does that happen? What is there, a button that they push that automatically says ballistic missile threat inbound? I mean, come on. And for people, hurry up and seek shelter. Who knows? Apparently, the people in Hawaii had the bejesus scared out of them this morning, and I don't blame them. That's not anything to mess around with at all. Let's see. The alert sent by the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency was revoked the 30 minutes later, prompting confusion over why it was released and why it took so long to rescind. State officials and residents of the normally tranquil part of the Pacific, as well as tourists swept up in the panic, immediately expressed outrage. Well, no kidding. I would have too. I would have called for somebody's head. Good grief. Unbelievable, but believable because it happened. So we must be aware of what's being sent out and get verification in any case. Let's see, I have the chat room open. I don't know if it's working though, but it shows open on my page. Nevertheless, onward. Thank you for tuning in this evening. We have so much more to talk about. We have President Donald Trump. May receive some competition for the most tweet-happy political or politician, they're saying. Now, most of these news stories, again, aren't in the average news cycle. Why would they be? They may actually be news. A lot of times, right now, they're stuck on that whole what Trump said about Haiti and Africa. Excuse me one second. Let me clear my throat here. Good heavens, still getting over whatever it is that's plaguing me at the moment. So let's see, onward with the tweets from Donald Trump, being the politician that he is. Oh, also in news too, Representative Martha McSally has said and decided that she's going to go ahead and run for Jeff Flake's seat. So that's good news. She seems like a, well, like anybody else, better than Jeff Flake. But then again, who knows? It could be, you know, a brick that might be better than Jeff Flake at this point. Let's see. Here we go. Apparently, Emoji Phil tweets aren't enough for Chelsea Manning because she has filed papers to run for Senate in Maryland. How about that? If anybody is familiar with Chelsea Manning, this person is somebody that former President Obama had pardoned. Chelsea Manning, the transgender former Army private who was convicted of passing sensitive government documents to WikiLeaks, has filed to run for the U.S. Senate in Maryland. And this is according to federal election filings, so it's not made up. And Manning, who did not immediately respond to a request for comment, would be challenging Democrat Ben Cardin, who has served two terms in the Senate. So you're going to trade one evil for another evil, I guess. I don't know. I can't say. Who's to say what this person will do? I don't know. I guess no one knew about this, that she was going to be doing this. And she had talked with the Washington Post about it and gave her story. Manning moved to Maryland after her release, and friends and family raised more than $175,000 to support her through an online campaign. And since then, she has written for The Guardian and Medium on issues of transparency, free speech, and civil liberties, according to her website. A Manning statement of candidacy was filed with the Federal Election Commission on Thursday. She's running as a Democrat and refers to Maryland as her home state on the website. Now, Democrats like to talk, well, Republicans too, talk about all those things that she listed. I just wish I could say that either party, you know, could actually fulfill their campaign promises. It's almost, they'll say anything to win your vote. So I'm going to play a clip here with Martha McSally to give you, if you're not familiar with her, again, she's running for the Republican seat of Jeff Flake, Senator Jeff Flake, to replace him. And she wasn't too sure if she was going to do it, but apparently she made her decision today. So here she is. This is an introduction to who she is.
26 years in uniform. She's taken the fight to the enemy and the establishment.
The U.S. Air Force decided Martha McSally had the right stuff, the first female pilot to fly in combat. Colonel McSally is not afraid of a good fight. She has launched a one-woman campaign against a military policy in Saudi Arabia that forced her to wear a long black Islamic robe over her Air Force uniform.
I absolutely refuse to bow down to Sharia law. After 8 years of fighting, I won my battle for the religious freedom of American servicewomen. Now I'm deployed to D.C. to fight for Arizona, supporting our troops and saving the A-10, protecting Arizona jobs and securing the border.
My friend Martha McSally, she's the real deal. She's tough.
Like our president, I'm tired of PC politicians and their BS excuses. I'm a fighter pilot, and I talk like one. That's why I told Washington Republicans to grow a pair of ovaries and get the job done. Now I'm running for the Senate to fight the fights that must be won on national security, economic security, and border security. After taking on terrorists in combat, the liberals in the Senate won't scare me one bit.
Patriot, warrior, leader. Martha McSally for United States Senate.
Sounds like a good egg, I suppose. She's got some military background, very much like Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, but Tulsi Gabbard is a registered Democrat. But she has convictions of a conservative, so maybe she's working from the inside out. I don't know. But kudos for Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii for questioning the reauthorization of the 702 FISA court. It was due to expire, and that's what the CIA, NSA, used to target people overseas in order to stop terrorist attacks. You know, this time around, there wasn't very much discussion about the reauthorization of it. In fact, Mitch McConnell had even blocked Rand Paul from filibustering the reauthorization. Last time, the argument was how many actual terrorist attacks has it stopped since its instatement? And the answer was, at the time, none. But information is gathered nevertheless, because it could potentially stop, you know. And then recently they were throwing in the San Bernardino and all these other, and it's like, well, no, because those things still happened. So it did not work to stop those things. It did work, though, in the case of a fake dossier, as they call it, in order to be able to target Donald Trump in Russia for no good reason, just because they wanted to derail him. Deep state, Democrats, you know. Do I need to go into it? I hope not. And we've also have more here. So let me get back to Martha McSally. Anyway, look into her, see what she's about. She's an interesting lady. There's talk about her being with the establishment, but then again, it's the media, you know. She's quite on board with the Trump agenda. And as you heard, she goes right on down the line as far as what she believes in and what she's going to fight for. Lately, candidates on the Republican side have, I guess you could say, maybe gone against that agenda, and they didn't do so well. So I don't know if that's a strategy for her or not, but nevertheless, I believe her. So we'll just have to see. She doesn't seem like she's too hawkish to me. Fighter pilot, though, I'm impressed. Impressed. That was something I wanted to do as a young girl, but back then they didn't have them. So I can't imagine what it would be like having your hair blown back going Mach 2.5. Awesome. Okay, let's see. Onward. This whole comments with the Trump, I'm sure you're tired of hearing it. One side the media is not playing, of course, is why Haiti is in the predicament that it's in, number one. Number two, if those countries were so great, then why would the people want to come here and immigrate here? I mean, hello? Make any sense? Unbelievable. The Clintons go way back as far as messing with Haiti and making it the place that it is now. In fact, during the 2016 election, there were people, Haitians, that were protesting the Clinton Foundation and speaking against Hillary Clinton. But the media didn't show that. Quite interestingly enough, but is it? Maybe not. Of course, they wanted to sweep all of that under the carpet. We can't have that exposed, you know. I know I'm kind of all over the map. I actually wasn't sure I was going to be putting on a show today. Again, I'm trying to get rid of this. I mean, it's been 3 weeks already. Holy cow, it's capacious. Okay, so I'm going over news today because I wanted to put something together for you to learn about that you wouldn't get normally in the news. So I have various sources. Oh, the California wildfires and the mudslides, and it just so happens that the majority of the rain that we received here in California happened to be right in the areas where, the fire devastation was. I just find that strikingly interesting. If you're not aware of the devastation, I mean, other than what's been reported, I recommend that you go to YouTube and look that up. California fires, the recent fires in Northern California, even in Southern California, these houses were decimated, just gone. What they've showed in the news was just a glimpse. And I know houses burn and they can burn to the ground, but we're talking foundation. We're talking devastating. I mean, it's questionable, very questionable. You know, I've talked in somewhat recent time in an episode about the mind control thing. And there's so much technology that is in the hands of our government and, you know, military government. The part of it is called, the military industrial. What they do is they sell, you know, weapons and things like that to other countries. We make deals with them. And that's what keeps that going. That's where we get a lot of money. But, you know, there's no wars going on right now. Military-industrial complex, that's what it is. Anyway, and so new technologies are developed all the time because once we sell, you know, certain weaponry, we can't have the same anymore because then it'll, you know, be worthless. We need to come up with something better. And that's where technology comes in. We've got AI all over the place. People are worried about these robots looking too real and taking over the world. And a thought occurred to me today, and it was ironic, because I had just looked up drones on YouTube, and they make them as small as a mosquito now. So I wouldn't really worry too much about AI in the sense of these humanoid-type robots or self-thinking robots, because they really don't need them. These little mosquito size nano drones can be, they have a picture of them. They show them in use. They show that the other countries that are using them as well and their own prototypes and own designs by other countries. Let me see if I can find that really quick so I can put that in the chat room, because I highly recommend that you view that, because now that's something to be feared, because they can not only do surveillance, but they can attach little syringes on there. And they can do it with chemicals, poisons, whatever their heart's delight, without causing, you know, casualties. They can pretty much target who they want, send those little nano drones out. You don't even know are there. You think it's a mosquito, smack. Oh, you just, what you did was just inject yourself, and now you're dead. So it's pretty intense and scary thing in that respect, that they have those capabilities. We knew all along that they were coming, and they're called U.S. military. Okay. Oh, because they have swarms too. They can make them swarm. Can use them individually or make them swarm. Isn't that something? Oh, let's see here. Bringing it to the, oh, it's not going to let me do it. I apologize for that. Let's see here. Hopefully it will pop up here on my page. Okay, it says save. Okay, it's in my website page telling about what the show's going to be about, so you can check that out. So let's get back on track here. So we did the Chelsea Manning, and we have the Democrats and them being advised, and the whole George Soros thing. Isn't that fun? Soros just never seems to get out of the limelight there. He always finds a way back into our hearts again. Isn't that wonderful? I believe there are several countries that actually have a warrant out for his arrest. They want the man gone, which I don't blame him. He does nothing but cause trouble. But if you look into this further, you'll see that he's not the only one behind it. He's just one of many. So you can't just, you know, take it out all on him, but he's a major player. So the Washington Post, by the by, getting back on track here, suspends a reporter who advised Democrats at a secret event. Let's see. Now, this story was last year, and it was cited by the Washington Free Beacon. And a Washington, Washington Post reporter goes rogue, gives strategy briefing to secret Dem donor conference. So her name is Janelle Ross, and she gave a presentation at a secretive California gathering where Democrat politicians, liberal activists, and their biggest donors plotted the future of the progressive movement without notifying her superiors that she would be attending, according to the Post. Now, Democracy Alliance went to great lengths to keep the identities of its members and guests confidential. Why would this be? Because of the big money that was going through there. And among them was Ross, a national reporter who closely covered the 2016 presidential campaign for the Washington Post and has since continued to cover the Trump administration. So, of course, you know everything's going to be negative. The Washington Post was not aware Ross attended the event. More importantly, though, is the fact that she attended the event in the capacity of a participant and not a reporter. She was basically telling them how they could play dirty, even more dirtier than they already do. How can I put that? On economic issues, she believes in violence. So basically it was another game plan. I guess the newbies are finally realizing that the Clinton, playbook isn't going to work anymore. So they're coming up with their new strategies. And now she's been outed. Oh, darn. Boo-hoo. I'm sure nothing will happen to her, though. Apparently she's still writing for the Washington Free Beacon. So anyway, that's what that's all about. And politicians denounce Trump, Anderson Cooper. Oh, yeah, that whole racist thing. I think if people actually looked into it to see what kind of condition those countries were in, and he didn't say anything about the people, he just said about the countries. There's more than ample coverage of our president talking to different leaders positively, and then you have the U.S. media taking it in their own direction. I don't know. I'm going to open up the phone lines and see I have a few callers here. Have any contributors, comments, questions, rants, raves, it's all the same. I have caller 1111 and caller 503, area code 503, which is Chief. Ladies or gentlemen, caller 1111, anybody there? Hello, hello.
Well, you know, I'm always here.
I just wanted to know if anybody could hear me. It's been quite interesting here.
Oh, I can hear you. I did notice you got kicked out of your own chat room after I was writing some things in there.
Oh, see, my chat room opened up on another tab here. Let me see here. Oh, it's just spinning. Wonderful. Great. Love it when that happens. We're going to take a quick break. I just wanted to say hello to you callers on the line there.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In the dark, give it to me easy, and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in the time to
promised land,
to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
What's your name?
What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Be rich. Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time?
Any time
to show? To show you what you need to live.
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why.
I really want to know. It's the time of the season.
I decided to take your advice, Chief, and use my phone to call in, so that's probably why you can hear me. That's one good thing. But my load up still doesn't seem very good, so it appears I need to increase my bandwidth, I suppose. That's the only thing I can think of. And it appears that we have more time on the books here. It didn't take me quite as long to get through those topics this evening. But rather than to close out, I want to get back to a topic that kind of intrigued me. I mentioned it just a second ago or two, and that was the mind control. I had had recorded something earlier with that, and then I was never able to use it because it just would not load up. It was being difficult. So with that, I'm going to find it here. There it is. And cross our fingers here. Let's see. Come on. There it is. Okay. Let me open this up. So many buttons to push. And whatnots. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Suffer from chronic CFED or can't book your travel.
Let's see, I'm bringing it up here. I'm trying to skip ahead. All right, still not working. Okay, all right. Chief, let me know if you can hear. I'm going to open up your mic and give me a hey, yay, nay, or what.
I can hear you just fine.
The important
I'm topic. Giving feedback.
This one in particular. I'm barely scratching the surface with tonight's information. How about now? But nevertheless, what I do have
yeah,
for
I
you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Important.
I hear you're playing also.
About it long after this show has ended. And with that, I'm going to open up the Chief's phone line, he's retired, get his take on what he's the one-time Harvard psychologist who became an evangelist for the mind-expanding potential of, what is it, hallucinogenic drugs in the 1960s.
Chief, that was an episode you helped me with, and one of the persons that you had brought up that you felt like playing a song about. I actually looked up because you had my curiosity. And so that was talking about that a little bit. But it was actually a book that I had come across regarding mind control and that I wanted to go over with you folks this evening. But do you remember that episode a few weeks back?
Oh, yeah. I you're talking about mind control, and it made me think of the Moody Blues. What was the name of that song? Yeah, Legend of a Mind.
Mhm. Yeah, and so I looked up that character you were talking about. Actually, not character. He was a real life person, and apparently he was something really in the '60s. He made a name for himself because of the hallucinogenics studies that he had done.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, nobody remembers the 60s, but it was the 60s. I'm hearing my voice feeding back to the phone. I don't know what you have, how you're doing this, or speakers.
Okay, does that help at all?
Well, I have to talk to see if I can hear myself. I can still hear myself on about a 1 second delay.
Okay.
So now I have to talk some more and see. I can still hear myself, but just barely. You're turning something down. I don't know. I don't know what exactly, how you're hooked up or anything, so.
Through my phone. I decided to go through the phone.
Yeah, well, you're sounding, your voice is sounding a little more phone. It's not quite as clear as usual, but it's quite understandable. It does have a little of that phone quality, so. Take that for what it's worth. You know, I can understand everything you're saying. If you're talking now, because now I can't hear anything.
Testing, testing.
Okay, now I hear you.
Okay. All right. Back on air again. Oh, my goodness. All righty. Here we are. I guess my wires got crossed.
Yeah.
With the blog talk and all that stuff there. Anyway. So... on any of the issues that I talked about? Do you have any comments on?
I wrote in your chat room, I've been following the Arizona Senate race for a while, and I had long been quite enamored of Dr. Kelly Ward. Very outside the box. She's a state representative or former state representative. She ran against John McCain in the last election in the primary, but John McCain being John McCain kind of killed her. But I've heard her interviewed many times, and I support everything she said. She was leading in the race up until a couple days ago, when Martha McSally took over, not so much because of Martha McSally, but Joe Arpaio announced his candidacy, and that put Kelly Ward from first place into third place immediately, because Joe Arpaio and Kelly Ward have a lot of the same constituency. The Republican.
Mm-hmm.
McSally is more the Mitch McConnell constituency, the John McCain constituency. So I like Kelly Ward a lot. I don't live in Arizona. I did spend a half hour there today driving through that one little corner of the state, that's what I'm hearing about that. I'm a little upset. Joe Arpaio, I mean, I could see supporting him, but the guy's what, about 100 years old?
So I don't know.
I mean, I think President Trump should, you know, give him a job or something and get him out of the Senate race.
Yeah, I agree.
I have no problem with Martha McSally per se. I know more about Kelly Ward, and I've heard more from her, and I'm very enamored with the positions she takes. So that's just
and what are the because you're a libertarian, so.
Yeah, kind of libertarian and mostly very anti-establishment. I'm kind of a Rand Paul kind of guy, so that's where I am. And I think Kelly Ward among the people. I would love to see Joe Arpaio just because issue more than anything else that I talk about is my most unlibertarian aspect of my belief system, and that is I am a total Tom Tancredo anti-illegal immigration type. So I could go for Joe Arpaio. I thought Tom Tancredo, I have to be sitting in Colorado right now. He was a former representative from Colorado. So.
I think you're right about Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I think he's he's run his gamut there, and it's time for him to go do something else, let somebody else take the reins there.
I would like to see him in a way. If I thought he was going to be, if I thought he really had a chance, I could go with Sheriff Joe in the Senate. He had a lot of problems as a sheriff down there in Phoenix, where I was a couple days ago. I get around, don't I? But
yes, you do.
But the problem, it's largely his age. But the thing is, as sheriff, he was in a position of enforcing the laws and doing things, and if what the laws he enforced violated some judge's view of the Constitution or some Justice Department's view of federal law or something like that, then he could get in trouble, which he did, and ended up being convicted, and President Trump had to issue him a pardon. But as a member of the Senate, he can say and fight for whatever he wants, and nobody can say anything to him. He can advocate for a constitutional amendment saying it's fine to shoot people on sight. Well, nothing he says in the Senate can be held against him other than by the voters or maybe the other senators if they want to expel him. But there are specific protections in the Constitution for members of Congress who, for what they say in the Congress. So he can push and advocate and say whatever he wants. That reminded me, remember that story must be about 10, 12 years ago by now. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, the senator from Idaho who got arrested, in a Minneapolis men's room in the airport. Or theoretically, you remember that story? It always amazed me.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, I don't know, but it just made that pop
Larry
into
Craig.
My mind. Larry Craig, that's it. I often wondered why he allowed himself to be arrested. The simple reason, if he was in Minneapolis, that meant he was almost certainly getting a connecting, changing planes to go from Washington, D.C. to Idaho. And
right.
There is a specific article in the Constitution, not an article, but a passage in the Constitution that says members of Congress are not subject to arrest while in session in Congress or when traveling to or from, you know, their home state and Washington, D.C. So he could have just told those cops, you can't touch me later.
Instead, he pled guilty to a misdemeanor for disorderly conduct.
That's what it's reported.
Yeah.
He could have said, I'm leaving, and if you don't like it, I will call the U.S. Marshals and have you arrested, because it's right in the Constitution.
Right. If you have a problem with it, get in touch with my attorney.
Well, I'm just saying, that's, if he's going to do something like that, he should carry his pocket Constitution and his little identification. That would have got him out. But as per usual, I take any show I get involved in way off track, don't I?
No, not at all. We were just talking. We talked about the news and, you know, the events that have taken place, and I always enjoy hearing your point of view. And I was you were actually talking about one of the issues or topics this evening, which was the elections. Your choice if you were in Arizona and could vote in Arizona.
Yes, I live in the People's Republic of Oregon. That's where I vote, so doesn't really much matter. I used to refer to the People's Republic of Eugene, because that place is as bad as California. That place also won't let the stores give you a plastic bag to put your groceries in.
No, you got to buy it.
Last time I went into a grocery outlet in California, I said, up in way northern part of California, there's a truck stop that just happens to have a grocery outlet store right across the street from it, and I like to shop in those because everything's really cheap. And so I pulled in there and I went in to just buy some groceries and stuff. And then so I brought all my grocery outlet bags from Oregon, I just stuffed my pocket full of plastic bags. So when I went into the store, I would have bags to put my groceries in.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Go ahead.
This was all the way up north in the state of Jefferson, which I'm sure will allow plastic bags when that happens. It's in Weed, California, which I'm sure is doing great business now that weed is legal in California. They used to sell hats and things that they had the logo on it, high on Weed, California. So now they're probably selling more of them.
You know it. And they're going to do everything they can to fight, you know, the federal government on it. I found the book I was looking for by Peter Schrag on mind control. I'm going to finish with that real quick, unless there was something else that you wanted to mention.
Go right ahead. I could talk in the chat room, but there's nobody there but me.
I still don't have it up. It's still spinning, my little spinner thing. Might have to think about an alternative source here. Anyway, this book here is in the Library of Congress. It's called Mind Control. It's categorized and its bibliographical reference and index is in psychiatry, United States philosophy. So this person, the book and the introduction goes on about the different techniques that we discussed. Let's see. Now, for people who may not have time to read but are interested and you don't want to buy the tape, hey, you've got me on Blog Talk Radio for this evening anyway. I might continue through the whole book in later episodes. I don't know. So, beginning with the introduction, it says, in the past generation, there has been a fundamental shift in the way government and other organizations control the lives and behavior of individuals. No single method and no single phrase adequately describe it. It is both too subtle and too pervasive. But it represents a radical change in the way people are treated and in the relationship between the citizen, his employer, the state, and the state's institutions. In general, it is a shift from direct to indirect methods of control, from the punitive to the therapeutic, from the moralistic to the mechanicistic, from the horatory to the manipulative. More specifically, it is reflected in the replacement of overt and sometimes crude techniques, threat, punishment, or incarceration with relatively smooth methods, psychotropic drugs, Skinnerian behavior modification, and aversive conditioning, electronic surveillance, and the collection processing of use of personal information to institutionalize people outside the walls of institutions. Those technologies, all developed or introduced during the past 25 years, have made it possible to extend intervention much of it will well-intentioned to millions of people who had never been subject to intervention before. They've made it possible to change the nature of that intervention so that instead of dealing with a specific act, the breaking of a law or a rule in school or social convention, they deal with generalized behavior and a growing list of relified pseudo medical abstractions, aggressiveness, maladjustment, personality disorder, mental illness. In many situations, these technologies have made it possible to convert the official rationale for that intervention from the protection of the state and community to individual therapy or service designed ostensibly to benefit the individual. Although they are professedly more humane and less capricious than what they replace or supplement, they are far more intrusive into the life, thought, feelings, and behavior of the individual than anything which existed previously. Collectively, these technologies are conditioning a growing segment of the society to regard all deviance and sickness and to accept increasingly narrow standards of acceptable behavior as scientifically normative. So, you know, that electric shock therapy. If you weren't behaving, and now more so than ever, kids are on Ritalin. You have autistic children in high numbers, attributed to vaccines or the air or all kinds of things. So can you imagine back then, they would have had their handfuls trying to correct people left and right. Unbelievable. So this book is about some of these methods of control, about how and whom they are used, the organizations which use them, the ideology on which they are based, and the extensive effects, personal and social, which they create. For the most part, it does not deal with the now notorious MK Ultra program and similar CIA-sponsored experiments in mind control and behavior modification, or with prisons, mental hospitals, and other closed institutions where inmates have always been subject to demeaning rituals of mortification. And whereas Irving Goffman said, each rule, each specification robs the individual of an opportunity to balance his needs and objectives in a personally efficient way and opens up his line of action to sanctions. Rather, the book deals with what appears to be growing tendency to employ new methods of intervention, to create wholly new systems of treatment, and to promote new ideology control in which society itself becomes more and more like a closed institution. Different agencies frequently employ the same methods, including, as one CIA report summarized them, drugs, electroshock, psychotherapy, psychology, psychiatry, sociology, and materials. What makes them significant is that they are no longer confined to covert or clandestine experimentations or to closed institutions. Each year, more people outside institutions are dragged, screened, tested, questioned, watched, and followed, and more are subject to those rituals of mortification, as if they were inmates. Some are volunteers, some are conscripts, and some fall into a gray area where no one can be certain whether they are one or the other. Impositions before or which had been possible only within closed institutions now become possible in the community at large. The vision is one of a kind of sanitized social efficiency. Its language is clinical. Its most important symbol is mental health. The most common subjects are the growing numbers of economically supervious or socially marginal people, the young, the old, the poor, the difficult, who in some measure are exempt from the conventional discipline of the marketplace. But they also include a great number of ordinarily middle-class individuals, housewives, drugged or treated with electroshock for menopausal syndromes, middle-class parents reported as investigated for children abuse or child abuse, workers, perhaps as many as 500,000, administered polygraph or other lie detector tests as a condition of employment, Valium and Librium junkies who use the drugs to cope with stress and psychic tension, and among others to cope with stress, and several million people of all descriptions who are invited or forced into the proliferating agencies of mental health for everything from suicidal thoughts to problems with the landlord. Of course, right now it's Trump derangement, so they would have their hands full once again. The different chapters in this book are mind-boggling. They talk about specifics with Ronald Reagan and Nixon. The first chapter is the behavior complex. For Dr. Louis Jolyon, or Jolly, he's the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California and Los Angeles, or at Los Angeles, and a director of the Neo Psychiatric Institute in the winter of 1973, was the headiest of seasons. He had been working for months, drafting and refining proposals for one of the most ambitious ventures ever conceived in his field, the creation of an extensive, lavishly financed, multidisciplinary center for the study and reduction of violence. He'd written funding proposals to state and federal agencies, and he had secured approval of senior officials of the state's health and welfare agencies on January 11th. The Violent Center became part of Governor Ronald Reagan's formal message on the state of the state. This center, Reagan said, will explore all types of violent behavior what causes it, how it may be detected, prevented, controlled, and treated. And on January 22nd, 11 days after Reagan's speech, and 2 days after Richard M. Nixon's second inaugural, West followed up with a friendly letter to his friend J.M. Sebelein, M.D., then the state's director of health. Dear Stubb, I'm in possession of confidential information that the Army is prepared to turn over Nike missile bases to a state and local agencies for non-military purposes. They may look with special favor on health-related application. Such a Nike missile base is located in the Santa Monica Mountains within a half hour's drive of the Neuropsychiatric Institute. It is accessible, but relatively remote. The site is securely fenced and includes various buildings and improvements, making it suitable for prompt occupancy. This is the site was made available to the Neuropsychiatric Institute as a research facility, perhaps initially as an adjunct to the new Center for the Prevention of Violence, and we could put it to a very good use. Comparative studies could be carried out there in an isolated but convenient location of experimental or model programs for the alteration of undesirable behavior. Such programs might include control of drug or alcohol abuse, modification of chronic antisocial or impulsive aggressiveness, etc. The site could also accommodate conferences or retreats for instruction of selected groups of mental health-related professionals and others for whom both demonstration and participation would be effective modes of instruction. My understanding is that a direct request by the governor or other appropriate officers of the state to the Secretary of Defense, or of course the President, would be most likely to produce prompt results. Although West's letter did not specify precisely what sorts of undesirable behavior he had in mind, how the alterations were to be accomplished, or why a securely fenced Nike missile site would be appropriate. The general objectives of the Violence Center had been extensively outlined in West's earlier proposal. Among the programs planned for the center were kinetic, biochemical, neurophysiological studies of violent individuals, including prisoners, and hyperkinetic children experiments in the pharmacology of violence, producing and violence-inhibiting drugs. Studies of life-threatening behavior during the menstrual cycle, studies on hormonal aspects of passivity or aggressiveness. In boys, surveys to discover and compare norms of violence among various ethnic groups, and the most significantly, the development of tests that might permit detection of violence predisposing brain disorders prior to the occurrence of a violent episode. That left us off on page 3. So it gets into some history there. Maybe I'll pick that up next Sunday. I hope to. Was that interesting enough to pick that up next Sunday, Chief?
Oh, well, I mean, when it comes to mind altering, my mind has long been altering. It looks like your live stream is about end in 10 seconds, right?
Yep, it is. I want to thank you for joining me.
You do have one other person in your chat room, I guess, so I don't know. But
I do?
Somebody without a name. So if your live stream is still on, they can hear, but it's showing that my machine is showing your live stream is over. So
it just only ended. Yeah, we're on overtime.
Only the people on the phone can hear. I guess you want to wrap this up. I will, 24 hours from this moment, I will be starting Simple Facts of Life Radio, and I'm going to talk, I think, about chain migration because I had one of my strange thoughts about it this today, and I'm going to explore that. So, Simple Facts of Life Radio, blogtalkradio.com/QMCUSN, 9 p.m. Pacific tomorrow night.
Good subject to talk on. I like it. I will be there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for joining me, Chief. Thank you, other caller. And thank you for those in the chat room who probably can't hear me, but if they play this back, they might. Have a wonderful Saturday evening and wonderful weekend, everyone. Thank you. Let's see. What key was that again? Oh, yeah.